I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, if you would. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And verse 14, the Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Lift him up. That's what Jesus said. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent. We know the story, how that the people had sinned, and God sent serpents, fiery serpents, down to bite the people and to afflict the people, and many were dying. And God said, "There's only one way to save them. There's only one thing to do." And He told Moses to make a brazen serpent, a serpent of brass, and put it up on a pole and hold it up. And he said that whoever looked upon that, if you look on that, if you'll just gaze upon that serpent there, that likeness of their sin, God said, "I'll spare you." I'm sure many people turned away. I'm sure many refused. They were stubborn. They said, "We're not interested. We'll do it our way." And many died. Jesus said just like that. He said, just like Moses had to lift up that serpent, that picture of the people's sin, Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Tonight, I encourage you to lift up his shame. Lift up his shame. Oh, yes. You say, boy, that's not a very pleasant thing to talk about, and yet that's what the Easter story is all about. Lift up his shame. Because Jesus, hanging on that cross, took our sin upon him. That's why he's there. There's no other purpose for him dying on a cross. The Bible says in Romans 8:3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Lift him up tonight. Lift up his shame. Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Why did he die on a cross? Why did he have to be hung on a cross and nailed to a cross? Because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Tonight, lift up his shame. 2 Corinthians 5:21 explains it all to us. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus never sinned. Jesus never lied. Jesus never told a dirty story. Jesus never thought a wicked thought. "He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Tonight I encourage you to lift up his shame. As he hangs on the cross, as he dies on the cross, as he pays for my sin, as he pays for your sin, let's lift up his shame tonight and realize. Somebody asked me once, and many children have said, "Why was it so bad? Why did they have to kill him like that? Why was he beaten? Why was it so ugly?" Oh, folks, I'll tell you why. Because our sin is ugly. Because our sin is terrible. Our sin is a curse. Our sin condemns us to hell. But Jesus paid that price for us. Lift up his shame tonight. Lift up his claim tonight. Luke 24:44, "He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Oh, tonight, lift up his shame, but let's lift up his claim as well. And his claim was that he had to die, he had to be buried, he had to rise again. All of this had to happen so that you and I could be saved. The claim was, oh, you'll kill me. Oh, you will kill me. And yes, you'll bury me, but I'll rise again. Lift up his claim tonight. It doesn't end with the cross. It doesn't end with him hanging on a cross or him being buried in a tomb. No, lift up his claim tonight that he would die, he would be buried, he would rise again. But of course, as Caiaphas showed us a while ago, they had their story, didn't they? And the Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse 11, "And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." And it's still reported among many people. Jesus rose from the grave, rose from the dead. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, but folks, listen to me. Let's lift up his claim, because he had so many witnesses that saw him when he rose from the dead. Luke 24, 15, "It came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, two of his disciples. As they thus spake," the Bible says, "Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." John 20, verse 26, "After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you." John 21, 1, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." 1 Corinthians 15, 5, "He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse 6, "After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." 1 Corinthians 15, 7, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also," Paul said, "as of one born out of due time." The witnesses will tell you tonight, if they could, they'd say, lift up his claim. Yes, he died. Yes, he was buried. But he rose again. He lives today. He lives. Jesus lives today. Yes, we need to lift up his shame, and we need to lift up his claim. But number three, I think tonight, let's lift up his fame. Because 1 Corinthians 15, 1 is the beginning of the gospel. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Gospel is good news. And it says, "Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And the gospel is the good news. We need to lift it up. We need to let everyone know. Jesus died on the cross. And yes, he took my sin when he hung on that cross. And yes, he died. And yes, he was buried. But he rose again. But lift up his fame tonight, because the Bible says this in Romans 5 and verse 6. "For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Lift up his fame tonight. He died for you. Oh, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Lift up his fame tonight. He came and he died on that cross for you and for me. Lift up his shame. That was my sin that shames him. That was my sin that made him a curse on the cross. That was your sin that put him there. Lift up his shame tonight. He died for sinners. Lift up his claim that he died, he was buried, he rose again, he lives. And lift up his fame that he died for us because he loves us. And finally, tonight I would encourage you to lift up his name. How could we be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And listen, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Tonight, if you don't get anything else, lift up the name of Jesus Christ. His shame as he dies on the cross. His claim that he would rise again. His fame that he did it for me because he loves me. Lift up his name tonight. How in the world? I think, and Brother Letson does such a good job. Peter, how can you deny him? Peter, come on, you were with him. You watched the miracles. You saw it all, and we read in the scripture. And there's Peter. He's denying the Savior, just like the Savior said. And it's so dramatic as we think of it being Peter. And yet, what about us at work? What about us among our family? What about us in school? What about us when we're alone? How often do we deny the name of our Savior, the one who took my sin and hung on an old rugged cross and paid my debt in full so I'd never have to go to hell? Lift up his shame tonight. Lift up his claim. Lift up his fame. And my friend, lift up his name. And take the name of Jesus with you. And take it everywhere you go. And tell the world about our wonderful, wonderful Savior, Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's talking. No one's looking around. In a moment, we'll give the invitation, but I wonder if there's anyone here tonight who'd say, first of all, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. I am not sure I've ever been saved. Anyone, you'd say, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many Christians would say, God has spoken to my heart tonight as a Christian. God is dealing with me about something. I need to pray. I need to get some things right. I've got some things I need to talk to the Lord about. Please pray for me, preacher. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. God's speaking to your heart. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Something tonight God's dealing with me about. Please pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Let's all stand, please. Father, bless our invitation and help us to do what you want us to do and make the decisions we need to make. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The choir sings. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. You come.